The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there's enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he was still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all of his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Pretty amazing. This Tuesday on the 6th will mark my second month here at both of these parishes. And in that amount of time, I have already felt very much welcomed by both parishes. I have felt included in family stories, in, you know, your guys' relationships with one another, being invited into your homes to share meals, and it's been incredible. And one of the things I've enjoyed the most is when I have parishioners that come up to me and they kind of have this twinkle in their eye and the smile on their face, and they love to share with me their memories, stories from the far distant past. And oftentimes they'll point to the grandeur, kind of a wave of the hand to these grand churches that we have. And they'll say, "Father, I was born here in Terre Haute. I was baptized in this church. I received First Communion in this church. I was married in this church. My kids were baptized here. Their kids were baptized here." And there's this profound sense of belonging and of pride in these parishes. And I can relate to that. It's a wonderful feeling. Every time I go back home to Innocksburg and I walk into that familiar church with its red carpeted floors, the statues that I've seen 100 times, the high altar with the tabernacle that I've prayed to timeless times, it's amazing. And it touches upon something at the very core of our being, something almost childish. Because I, for the life of me, cannot remember the first time I walked into that church. I would have been just a little bitty baby the first time I was in that place. And I have no recollection of that first time. It is something that existed before I had memory. I can't tell you when I received the lesson on how to pray the Our Father. It was always there for me. The Hail Mary the same way, how to respond at Mass. All of those things precede my memory. They've always been a part of my life. I cannot recall a time when I did not know the name of Jesus Christ. And so for those of us who were raised in the faith, that have this connection that goes all the way back to our very, very birth, today's gospel stands as a great challenge to us. Because today we hear Christ tell us to count the cost before you become my disciple. Know what you're getting into. Know what you're giving up before you follow me. And there's so many of us that take our faith for granted. There's a reason that we often say that converts are the best Catholics. They know what they're getting into. But for me, I don't remember a time when I had that choice. When did I have a chance to count the cost? When did I have a chance to sit there and calculate what it was going to cost me to be a disciple of Christ if I always have been? And what is that cost? There's a story of a father who had a beautiful younger daughter, and he loved her very, very much. When she was 10 years old for her birthday, he decided to get her this string of faux pearls, these plastic pretend pearls for her birthday. And she loved these things. She would wear them all the time, no matter where she was, what she was doing. She loved this necklace of faux pearls. She would wear them when she'd go out to play, when she went to school, when she was in the bathtub, when she went to bed at night. Everywhere she went, she wore these pearls. And after a couple of years, she never grew tired of that. She still held on to these pearls. And one night, her dad was tucking her into bed and said prayers with her. And then he asked her, "Do you love me?" And she looked at him kind of confused, but said, "Of course, Daddy, you know that I love you." And he said, if you really love me, I would like for you to give me your strand of pearls." And her face was crestfallen at that, you know, and she said to him, "Daddy, you know that I love you, but I also love these pearls, and I just can't give them up." And he said, "That's okay," you know, and he tucked her in, you know, kissed her goodnight, and left the room. The next night, it's kind of the same routine. He tucked her into bed, said the prayers, and asked her, "Do you love me?" And she knew where this was going, and she immediately went to it and said, "Daddy, I can't give you my pearls. I love them too much. I can't give them up." And he said, "That's okay." And he kissed her goodnight and left the room. The third night, same routine. Tucked her in, said their prayers. "Do you love me?" And with tears in her eyes, she undid the necklace and handed it to her father, who took it into his hand. And from behind his back, he pulled out this case, and he opened it up, and inside of it was a strand of real pearls that he was going to give her. And he said to her, "I love you more than anything else in this world." Every day of our lives, God is telling us specifically to each one of us in our hearts, "I love you." And all that he is asking in return is that we hand over all that is fake, all that is human frailty, all that is weakness in our lives for him to take into ourselves, that he can give us in return his own genuineness, his own authenticity, what is real in our lives. That is the cost. The cost is for us to let go of these things that we so ardently cling to. The reason that Christ became man and dwelt among us, became a human being, is so that he could go up on that cross and take with him everything that was against the Godhead, everything about us that was doubtful or fearful or angry or bitter or anxious or worried, and he took it up there with him, all of our sins, and nailed it to the cross with him. Nailed it there that it may die with him. And then when he rose again, he achieved something so profound in our humanity. He raised us up with him, brought us to a new place of courage and authenticity, a place where we could finally experience something that this world cannot provide. Freedom. True, absolute freedom, where we are no longer enslaved to these sins that make us less than who we are, who God created us to be. This freedom that not even the United States of America can guarantee us in the Constitution and with our liberties. It is a freedom that is inherent to the human being, a freedom that once was normal on this earth when Adam and Eve walked in the Garden of Paradise and they walked alongside God as friends of God. That is the cost. Our frailty, our masks that we wear. You know, it's amazing, today we celebrate something beautiful and wonderful in our church. Today in Rome, there will be a new saint proclaimed across the world. And we have her picture here before us, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. Today she is canonized a saint. And for good reason. In her life, she knew the cost. She handed over to God every doubt that she had, every fear that she had, everything that held her back from being truly the person God created her to be. And she wanted others to follow in those footsteps. Anyone who came to her at the convent that she had in Calcutta, she had this inscription put up on the wall. And everyone who looked upon this inscription knew that she knew the cost, that she knew what it meant to be a disciple of Christ. And these were the words that they would have read every time that they helped her. People are often unreasonable, irrational, and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives, but be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win over some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies. Succeed anyway. If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you. Be honest and sincere anyway. What you spend years creating can be destroyed overnight. Create anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, some may be jealous. But find happiness anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten, but do the good anyway. Give the best you have, and it will never be enough. It will never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. She knew the cost. She knew what it meant to be a disciple of Christ, and she knew what that true love and relationship looked like. And she knew that it was always, always worth it.